So Danny Blanco, before I pressed record, I'm watching the recap of the NBA games tonight, and I see the press conference that Zion was having, and I think I got to the point where the question I did not hear, but I think it was All-Star related, slam dunk related, something of that nature. But Zion just answered that he has to get to the All-Star game in order to do the dunk contest. He won't do the dunk contest if he's not in the All-Star game. And he said verbatim, if I make the All-Star game, which he made years ago, but did not do the dunk contest, and I think he's now seeing what's been going on and the fans, they want to bring that slam dunk essence back. He said, if I make the All-Star game, I will do the dunk contest. So are we officially at that point where the players are now feeling a certain pressure to participate in such activities during All-Star weekend or to play hard in the All-Star game? Because if Zion is officially going to be in it, I hope he makes the All-Star team. That's number one next year. Two, if he's for real and if he's legit, if he's on the docket, number one, Zion Williamson, will that make other top stars want to compete because he's officially in it? And if so, who do you think would follow suit to compete with Zion?
Stop asking these dumbass questions to Zion Williamson. Whoever wants to be in the dunk contest, let them be in the dunk contest. Stop begging these folks to my, oh, well, if I make it, then maybe I'll. We don't care at this point. The casual fan, Denny Blanco, It's in the Game podcast, Randy J. Cruz. Denny doesn't care. Zion, you don't have to be in it. We don't want you anymore. It's a ship has sailed right now. If you got it in next year, who's to say you may not get injured? You know, I mean, I want you.
Why you got to go left like that?
Bro? I want you in full shape for the season. Yeah. I don't want you committing to anything but being the best Zion Williamson you possibly can be. I don't want to hear about no dunk contests. Stop asking the man the question. Please. Let's stop asking Zion, LeBron, these guys. Stop.
They want to see the Zions of the world be in the dunk contest, bro. They're still holding out hope for this event. And
hold your breath.
You need the top guys to in hold order to compete, because if one follows suit, two, three, four more guys, all right, bet I will do it, because Zion is probably one of, if not the best dunker in the league. So why not do it? So if he says one, he has to hold to his word. If he doesn't make it, he's got to do it. I'm saying hypothetically, fantasy booking is if Zion is in it, I'm hoping that others would be like, damn, Zion's in it? Oh, nah, this got to be like, now there's extra pizzazz, extra motivation. You may not get the G League people no more. You're going to get actual all-stars participate. Like Jaylen Brown, all-star, good player, but he's not the guy that's going to say, you know what, if he's in it, I'm in it. Zion is. We've been trying to get Zion since he was a rookie, even in Duke. To do this dunk contest. So now, if there's a glimmer of hope, one of the top stars in the whole league is going to do this and could win the whole thing, I think it'll be a domino effect of other top stars, healthy wise, to do the dunk contest with him.
Hold your breath. Hold your breath. Look behind you. See that? See that in the background? See that? See that moving? See that? That's the ship that sailed. Okay, it's gone. It's the carnival. The one with the slide, the ship is gone. You're not making it. You're back at the dock. Forget about it. Your ship is sailed. Like I said,
hypothetically, bro.
It's hypothetical. Talk to the young boys. Talk to the rookies that are coming into the league. Don't talk to the guys that have been here four, five, six years or 3-4 years that are you know, guys like Zion that literally. Mm-hmm. Number one pick, all-star selection already, got the money. There's no incentive for him to do it. There's none. He already has the name, already has the money, already has the cachet. There's no need for him to do it. None. So that's what I'm saying. Like, hypothetically, I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, yeah, that sounds cute. But when it comes down to it, these guys aren't going to do it.
If Zion is in it, let's play the game. Let's play the game. If Zion is in it,
go ahead, Thanos.
They do four guys.
Go ahead, Thanos. Go ahead. Snap your fingers. What are the four guys?
Zion is number one. Who else? A, you think would consider it, or B, who you would like to see in a dunk contest now? Because if he's in it, the potential of like, all right, do we get Ja Morant in there because Zion is in it? At least two out of four guys, like, damn, that's gonna be crazy. I'm not saying all four guys have to be on the all-star team, but it's going to be a domino effect. And Zion is a big domino for the league to say, you know what, if he's in the slam dunk contest, wow, like, look out. These guys are now going to, like, clamor to get in. So maybe a Ja. Outside of Ja, is there anybody else you would want to see that could realistically be in it?
No. And the funny thing is, you know, back in the day, you would get like sample sizes of dunks during the game for you to be like, oh, I want that person in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
How many dunks are we getting in the game? How many dunks are getting in the game? Two? Three? For you to be like, oh, you know, this guy, yeah, no. I honestly, Ja, Zion, maybe the Toppin brothers. I know there are a couple of, maybe there's a couple of people.
Zion, Ja, Obi, and one more. Give me that's
I said the Toppin. I said the Toppin brothers. I don't have another.
If it's not both brothers, you get one, and then there's one more.
I don't have another. I don't see people dunking in the league for me to be like, ooh, I want to see him dunk. They're no dunkers. They don't dunk. They shoot threes. Sidebar, there was a game I was watching. I think it was the Bulls. I think Javon Carter. He in the corner, right? 3-point line in the corner. I think he passed it to the guy at the top of the key on the wing. And then he cut baseline. He totally lost his man. He cut baseline. He's under the rim by himself. He cut baseline, caught the ball, took two steps. He's under the rim by himself. Ask me what he did, Randy.
He probably kicked it out for a 3-point shot.
It's a verb now. If you don't know, it's a verb now. He did a Ben Simmons.
Oh, so he didn't go for the layup.
He did a Ben Simmons. And when I say he did a Ben Simmons, you know exactly what I mean. But in this instance, he had a back door. Like Ben was by himself after he, you know, some two and two exchange. But he had a back door by himself and literally was so programmed to kick out for three. He didn't go. The whole arena was like, ah. The announcer was like, why didn't you take that layup? It was a layup.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point. We have no more dunkers. Everybody wants to shoot. Nobody wants to drive to the rim. It is what it is. And one more last point. I understand also why Chicago's not where they need to be, obviously, with Zach and everything down. But Vucevic, I saw Vucevic have Derek White on his back in the post. Mm-hmm. And Derek White blocked him. I said, that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know why Chicago's where they are. That's all I need to know. So thank you for allowing me to share my grievances with the way the game is being played currently, which is trash.
Well, I'm still holding out hope that we get Zion next year dunk contest. We got to get Zion in an all-star game first. We got to vote. He's got to be healthy, obviously.
He's got to be healthy and play every single game, well, possibly.
And then if that happens, we might get one of the biggest stars in the league in Zion to do the dunk contest, and everybody would come back watching, oh, the dunk contest is back. But we got to see who else is going to join.
Possible. Probable? No. Possible. Probable? No. Not happening.
I did see LeBron score 40,000 points. The first guy in NBA history to ever do so. So congrats to LeBron. He's all by himself up there. I don't know who the next guy could be. Curry, Durant.
Durant more than likely. Durant. Mm-hmm.
But he would have to average like 30 points or something for the next couple of seasons just to even be in the stratosphere of LeBron. Durant is like number 8 right now. He passed Carmelo, he passed Shaq, so he's climbing the ladder of the all-time scoring list. But listen, LeBron, 40,000 points. People are going to always – that debate with Jordan would never go away because he got 40,000 points. He broke Kareem's scoring record. He has this. The longevity of the career goes without question. What I want to bring up is the fact that he did say in the presser, the post-game, something like, you know, when he came out of high school, he felt everybody wanted him to fail. Didn't believe in him. High school kid, a lot of expectations and King James. And, I've always been a LeBron fan coming out of high school. The first go around with the Cavaliers, taking that team to the NBA Finals in 2007, having one of the greatest playoff games ever against Detroit, Game 5. Just took over, scored like 29 out of 30 in Game 5 on the road. But I think people shifted on him when he got to Miami. And that's where he became like this villain. And him and Wade and Bosh were the Rolling Stones going all over the world tour. And everybody was booing him everywhere they went because he left Cleveland. And you know, he wanted titles. You know, to win, and he did win titles in Miami. He went back to Cleveland. He got one, but I think once he did the Miami move and the decision how it was laid out, and someone felt a certain way. Why would you do this if you were leaving? It just listen, bro. I was a fan in 2010, watching me thinking he was gonna be a Knick. We had an outside shot. We're saying, oh, he's in Connecticut. He's in our backyard doing this decision. He's got to come to New York. That he said, I'm going to take my time.
Who told you LeBron wasn't coming?
Nobody knew what he was going to do or not going to do.
Randy, when we had a conversation, we've had many conversations over the years. When we had a conversation during that time, you said LeBron might come to the New York Knicks.
Yeah, might. He might.
And what did I tell you?
Bro, that was 14 years ago, bro.
I told you he wasn't coming.
Because you know I want him to be a Knick, and now you're going to be like, oh, I told you so. I told you so. Like, bro, you probably ain't tell me anything. You just fucking lying right now. You ain't telling me that. I don't know. Maybe you did.
Bro. Oh, so you, okay. You don't remember me telling you LeBron wasn't coming to the Knicks. Kyrie wasn't coming to the Knicks. KD wasn't coming to the Knicks. You don't remember none of that.
I told you. I remember you telling me, oh, Kyrie ain't coming there. KD ain't coming there. Any other free agent ain't coming there. Like LeBron, bro, that was 14 years ago. I truly don't recall. If you did, all power to you. But I truly don't remember you saying, well, he ain't going. I know you ain't telling me he's going to Miami.
No, fuck no. I ain't tell you where he was going. I just knew he wasn't going to the Knicks.
And I'm saying, like, you're watching that. I'm thinking, like, why would he do this if he's staying in Cleveland? It just didn't.
And none of it made sense. None of it made sense, honestly, and I agree with it. I agree with the concept. But you have to understand, the guy pulled a Hollywood Hogan, and you know wrestling. You're the WWE monster. So you understand the concept. That was Hulk Hogan. I am a real American.
Oh, see, that's the red and yellow Hogan.
There you go.
Black and white Hollywood.
There you go. So originally it started with the yellow and red, right? So yeah. Cleveland, it's like, oh, LeBron, yay, yay, yay. You say your prayers, eat your vitamins. What you gonna do, right?
And now
he got changed.
He's not tired of that, and he changed colors. And
New world. Woo!
And I've been telling you for the longest, LeBron in Miami is probably the best version of LeBron.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, Miami, Cleveland.
He was there. He won titles. the attitude shifted where he knew he was like the bad guy. Every road game they went to, it was just like rock star kind of environment, and they just hated they hated LeBron at that point in time. But me, I was like, this is awesome. This is the NBA needed that shot in the arm. Like, who's the bad guy? Who's not saying we're gonna be physical and fight, but who can I not root for? Who can I boo? Everybody's friends and having a good time, but they didn't have the rivalries. And with that, he formed a rivalry with New York and Boston and stuff like that, and San Antonio. So it was like, without that,
LeBron was tired again. LeBron was tired to get his was tired to get his ass whipped by Detroit and Boston. He was tired. He was tired of taking his team by himself and looking around and being like, "Yo, I can't average 50, 10, and 10. I can't do that every game. I can do that. I give you one a game. I can give you that once a game, but I can't do that." So he joined forces, and once he joined forces, it was all, you know, all downhill from there. So shout out to LeBron.
That's when you were in that Big Three era. Boston kicked that off with Ray Allen, KG, Paul Pierce. Some would say it was before that with Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, but I think this formation was like you put it together via trade. Like, they drafted Tony Parker
and Ginobili and Tim Duncan were all drafted just like Golden State. It's not the same. Right. So when you're talking about the Boston Celtics, the Miami Heat, the Golden State Warriors, those are different anomalies that you can look at and be like, oh yeah, nah, this is everybody in their prime. Mm-hmm. It's not like Karl Malone on the Lakers or Gary Payton on Miami. It's a different situation where these guys were at the tail end of their careers versus being in their prime.
Yeah,
actually coming together. So, I mean, even when you talk about super teams, we mentioned earlier, Chris Paul had an opportunity to go to, allegedly, Miami. There was a conversation, and I laughed because, quite frankly, if I'm Chris Paul, I mean, I should have been to the ring at least two or three times. I almost was supposed to go to L.A. They said no. I want to go to Miami. Whether he says, oh, I didn't want to take the number three. What's number three? I didn't want to take number three, so I didn't want to come to Miami. That is the dumbest reason not to go to a team. He's going to have my number. I don't know what to do.
And this is Miami. This is
– It's Wade County. It's Wade County.
You would have had Chris Paul, D-Wade, LeBron, I'm assuming Bosh.
Yeah.
During the Eagles era.
Yeah, it was the boat. Wasn't it the boat? Was it the tube? The boat? The tube? Whatever they was on and during the Olympics. And they was just like, oh, they getting together. Quick. Mm-hmm. Sidebar. Mm-hmm. Did you see the conversation Carmelo had about Houston Rockets?
The Houston Rockets.
Carmelo Anthony was having a conversation. Shout out to him and
Miro,
the podcast they have. And he mentioned his time at Houston and said that he had a conversation with Chris Paul and they was trying to tell him, no mid-range shots. They told Carmelo Anthony he can't take mid-range shots.
Yeah, because
Carmelo was like, they bugging. And he was like, I thought they were bugging, but they were dead serious. He was like, all those shots go to Chris Paul. I said, no wonder he didn't last in Houston. Well, no wonder.
You do know who the coach was.
We all know who the coach was, Dan Phoney.
that's why anything Carmelo would have did, D'Antoni was not having it. It was never a good marriage in New York, in Houston.
No. The concept of you telling a guy who scored 20,000 points from mid-range, don't do mid-range. The concept is mind-boggling to me. As the conversation, I was like, they said what? Where in Houston?
Yeah, he's probably one of, if not the best mid range performer ever. Like, those, him and the Rip Hamiltons of the world, those guys get a bucket on any side of the ball in the mid-range game. Are you telling me I can't do this on your roster with Chris Paul and a James Harden?
They wanted it. They wanted a Trevor Ariza type, a 3-and-D. And I'm like, where do you see 3-and-D with Carmelo Anthony? Where? Where? Just all over the place.
And Carmelo still had like a lot to give, and he wasn't
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
He came off that OKC year, and then it was just bad in Houston, man. Like, I felt bad. Like, yo, y'all really just doing him 10 games in, telling him stay home, or like, that was whack on their part. So, I mean, I don't know who was all the way involved or not. I know D'Antoni is at the center, at the core of it. But to not have that man play for you and just to provide you what he can do, he's fucking top 10 all-time in scoring. You don't want that?
When I tell you, anyone listening, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you there are coaches on this earth coaching games, any sport, if they have beef with the player, current, whether it's an old beef, whether it's a new beef, whether it's a player that got traded, if they have a beef with that player, I have seen in real life that coach sabotage a game because they didn't like the player. Sabotage the team. In essence, D'Antoni sabotaged the Houston Rockets by telling Carmelo Anthony he can't take any mid-ranges. That's sabotage.
And even more, telling him, yo, stay home. What? 10 games in.
Sabotage. And then realize, oh, because again, he tried to do the same thing to Steph, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He tried to do the same thing to Steph. He literally sent him away. Then when the Knicks were losing, was like, hey, you want to play? No. For you? Yeah. Hell no. I'm home, baby. You sent me home, I'm home, baby. Don't call me. Mm-hmm. You dig what I'm saying? So there are a lot of coaches that need to get out their own effing way.
Yeah, D'Antoni, the George Karls of the world.
Well, no. They don't need to get out their... Randy, they don't need to get out their own way. They're just like a coach anymore. They're not going to get any jobs.
Yeah.
There's a reason why all the coaches from our era, even when they're a couple of, you know, some of them are very, some of them are up there, they're retiring. Yeah. You know why they're retiring? And this is not just basketball. This is college football. Shout out to Nick Saban. This is college football. This is a lot of, you know, why?
Carroll, because Belichick, Saban, all out.
They do not know how to reach the young player. Mm-hmm. They don't. And all that yelling and talk to you any way you want to talk to, that's gone. That's out the window. You can't do that no more. Right. You can't do that. Like, it's not going to happen. You see what Rick Carlisle did in Dallas. He said, oh, I won't be able to talk to Luka the way I want to talk to Luka. Mm-hmm. With my resume, with my ring? Really? I'm out. One. Peace out. We good. And I respected him so much for that because it's like, yo, I'm choosing me. You're not about to fire me. I see the writing on the wall. Yeah. I see it. I'm out. Deuces. So, you know, it just happens that way. These coaches saboteurs.
I do got two quick points. I want to save Caitlin Clark for the end.
I know CC.
Her, but CC. You know, just researching and stuff that happened either yesterday, last week, or a month ago. So, I was a big Chicago Bulls fan growing up. Obviously, Jordan, Pippen, Phil Jackson, Rodman, even before Rodman got there, the first three-peat. And seeing The Last Dance during the pandemic where nothing was on television at all. Like, everybody was tuned in. Like, this is like, it felt like a brand new show.
Must-see TV.
Must-see TV. Like some old NBC TGIF kind of vibe. Oh, Last Dance, episode 1 and 2 tonight. All right, 2-hour block. We're going to see this and get stories and the whole backstage access of this Last Dance team for Chicago in the 90s. And we saw it. I didn't see any problem with it. I thought it was great. probably one of, if not the best sports documentaries ever that could be debated. But apparently some people who were involved were not fans of it, such as Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant, Luke Longley. Just to fast forward, you know, Michael told his side on The Last Dance, and then now they're going on this tour called the No Bull Tour.
Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, Luke Longley.
Horace, Scottie, Luke Longley going on their No Bull Tour. I think it began in Australia. Just having
What's it called?
No Bull.
Nah, it's not called that.
Is it called that? Bull Tour. Like, no bullshit.
These guys crazy.
They're going to go out there and talk about their stories, stuff that probably that was not in the Last Dance, or to dispute what Jordan said. So there's back and forth here and there. I'm trying to, like, do I like what's going on? Do I think it's pettiness all over the place? Like, it's hard to say Last Dance was terrible. It was whack. It was whatever, because it's Jordan. Jordan's in there, his side, his story. It's hard to break that wall. And now, whatever Scottie says, or Horace, or Luke Longley, are we going to be like, oh, yeah, that's cool, man, but I don't care. Like, are you on the fence of, like, I want to hear what they say. Or more like, regardless of what you say, it doesn't matter, because that happened 25, 30 years ago, and what's done is done.
No, that's not what it is. What it is, number one, you have your truth, I have my truth.
Right?
So Michael Jordan was able to share his truth on the actual documentary. Mm-hmm. Scottie is as well. I don't believe I saw anything from Horace Grant, minimal, or Luke Longley. It was mostly Scottie, a little bit, Rodman, it's a couple of things. Mm-hmm. But when you're on a team of 12, you have different vantage points. And the legitimate argument or debate is, calling Jordan a complete and utter asshole, Michael Jordan, saying that he was the worst teammate in history. Multiple things can be true if you're Scottie Pippen or Horace Grant or Luke Longley. It's like, yeah, he was an asshole, but I got a ring. So does that, because I got a championship ring, 1, 3, 5, 8, does that remove the fact that he was an asshole? I don't think so. It doesn't. So if I miss a layup or I miss a free throw, and Michael Jordan comes over to me and calls me everything under the sun and says he's going to make sure that my life is a living hell.
Yeah.
Is that okay because I got rings? Probably not. So Luke Longley, Horace Grant, and Scottie Pippen going around saying, hey, this is our vantage point. Mm. No bull. This is what really happened. Maybe they're able to be asked questions that Michael Jordan would refuse to ask. Like, hey, Michael, why'd you punch Steve Kerr? He addressed it. Sure.
I mean, listen, why isn't Steve Kerr? I know he's coaching, but why wouldn't Steve Kerr want to join the No Bull Tour? Or it just...
Oh, no. I mean, obviously, it's they got together for a specific reason, those three, because obviously those three. I started watching, actually, Luke Longley has a good one, too, on YouTube, I think. He has a documentary.
And it was crazy that Jordan, I think he was interviewed for that, and he praised Luke Longley, saying, hey, listen, man, like, at that time, he's what we needed for a three-peat. I love him. I respect him. Without Luke Longley, we don't win three titles in that time frame. So he does praise him for that.
Yeah, praising me after you've tortured me for years, I don't know how I would take that. So when you bring it back to these guys, I don't know. When Scottie Pippen says, you know, Jordan says, you know, I thought Scottie should have played.
Oh, with the migraine.
No, I believe it was the contract dispute. I think, yes, it was the contract dispute. And then something like Scottie waited to get surgery, something to that effect. And Michael was like, nah, I think he should have played. I'm like, see, right there.
I mean, that's twofold. If we're playing together and I know you hurt, I'm thinking, yo, bro, get the back surgery, do the rehab and get back. Okay, to play advocate, why would you wait so long to do the surgery?
He was sticking it to the Bulls. And no one liked Jerry Reinsdorf. And that's what's funny. Like, mm-hmm. Michael's like, I don't like him either, but come back to play for us. Who gives a F about the us? I don't like Jerry Reinsdorf, neither do you, and he's doing me dirty. So you should be on my side because he does you dirty too. Mm-hmm. But what happened was Jordan was playing Switzerland, and that's BS. Mm-hmm. Just like the owner of the Bulls talking about, yeah, Jerry Reinsdorf did what, you know, what's the owner's name? What was the owner's name at the time? I forget his name. Yeah, Jerry Reinsdorf did what
Jerry Krause.
The two Jerrys. Jerry Krause, like, yeah, that was Jerry. I said, you're the owner of the team. He is the GM. He has to get final approval from you. From you.
Yeah.
So shut up, Jerry. You sound dumb. You sound dumb. Mm-hmm. It was the buck stops with you, Jerry Krause. Go for it. You're getting paid to go around, tour, speak to people.
As a fan, are you more like disappointed? Like, man, I can't believe we're going. This is what it's come down to, or
no?
Just for them to get it off their chest. Like, all right, let me say my truth and just kind of be done with it, because I don't see Kerr doing it. I don't see BJ doing it. I don't see Rodman doing it. So why is this specifically these three players?
I mean, wise in terms of, I don't know. I mean, like I said, everyone has their own truth. And if they're able to, I'm sure they're getting paid to go and talk about their part of the dynasty. I don't see a problem in it, as long as they're not being slanderous, if that's a word. As long as they're not slandering nobody, I don't see a problem in it at all.
My last point, we're seeing a nice revolution going on in women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, a bunch of other plethora of players. Really, you know, South Carolina went undefeated again, back-to-back years. They're doing their thing. But just like LeBron breaking records in the NBA, an untouchable record, Clark is she's now the official D1 record holder for most points in D1, men or women. College basketball history, taking down Pete Maravich's record. She has declared for the WNBA draft, which is probably in April. And they even have the New York Liberty schedule out, and their home opener is against the Indiana Fever, which obviously will be the team to draft Caitlin Clark in the draft. Listen, the numbers are there. People are watching. They're tuned in. They're more tuned into to this than men's college basketball. And I did see this. I don't know if you noticed, but so when they aired Iowa, Ohio State last week on Fox, right? 3.4 million viewers for that game.
Yeah.
Right. So it was higher than both TNT NBA opening night games this season. Mm-hmm. And it was higher than Wembanyama's NBA debut on ESPN. So this is a story that they want to keep going. Obviously, March Madness is coming up, so you're going to see a plethora of Caitlin Clark on CBS and ESPN and whatnot. She's a phenomenon, and you know, sky's the limit for her as she comes into the WNBA. They're doing the marketing already. Like they're setting up that early rivalry with her and Sabrina. That's why you get opening night with Liberty and the Fever. What do you think of her breaking the record, being an all-time great in college basketball history? She might win a championship this year. She might. We don't know yet. But then her entering the WNBA and now being like, now she could be that next face or one of the faces coming into the league.
First and foremost, Caitlin, CC. Resumes. Diesel, you heard? AP Player of the Year. AP Player of the Year. Honda Sports Award. Honda Sports Award. John R. Wooden Award. Naismith College Player of the Year. USBWA National Player of the Year. Wade Trophy. This is all 2023. Mm-hmm. James D. Sullivan Award. Two-time unanimous first team. Three-time first team All-American. Three-time WBCA Coaches All-American. Second team All-American. Three-time Dawn Staley Award. Two-time Nancy Lieberman Award. Sidebar, if you went down a Dawn Staley and Nancy Lieberman Award, big time.
Tough.
Three times. Big Ten Player of the Year. Four times. First team All Big Ten. Big Ten Freshman of the Year 2021. Two time. Big Ten Tournament Most Outstanding Player. Two time NCAA Season Scoring Leader. Two times NCAA Season Assist Leader. Okay. All American. The problem I have.
Oh, there's a problem after you reading all that? What's the problem?
Yeah. I got to read it so you can understand what I'm going to say. Pistol Pete, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, play without a three-point line.
Oh, boy.
Ready, sail, Mike. Yeah.
All right. Well, go ahead, man.
He said, go ahead, man. Hey, man,
LeBron's the 40,000 points, but you know what? Bob Cousy ain't played with a three-point line. You know,
Bob Cousy ain't never had no J like that anyway. The concept is, I wonder if what would happen, what would have happened if
he had a three-point line.
Pistol Pete had a three-point line. That's all I wanted to know. Okay, well, that's all I want to know. Question. That's not a problem. It's a question. Not a problem, but a question. Okay. So that's the first question. That's the first question in my head. I'm like, yo, if Pistol Pete had a three-point line, would Caitlin Clark even be near this number? Probably not.
Okay.
Now, secondly, you want to know why the WNBA isn't where it needs to be? Right here. Caitlin Clark. 4 years. She's been in school for 4 years. Does she need the 4 years? To go to the WNBA, you think she needed 4 years?
No. She could have came out last year, but I think she saw certain attainable records
she could get. Yeah, so, right. So, the concept is, I feel, and also, too, the change with the NIL.
Yes.
Okay? The change with the NIL, why would Juju from USC run to the WNBA when she's getting paid more with NIL? So the WNBA product gets watered down for a period of time until these players, college women game, they have to wait 3 years. They got to change that rule because Juju Watkins is ready now. So could you imagine Juju being able to come into the league now with Caitlin?
Okay, so talking about the rule is to enter the draft, you got to do 3 years?
For women.
Oh, I didn't know that. Three years? No. They got to, like you said, Juju come out right now. Clark could have come out last year or a sophomore, like Angel Reese. That's like your next wave of like.
Yes. So for WNBA, for those folks that want to see a leap in viewership. I mean, don't get me wrong. Where the concept is when you say 5+ million people watched it, more millions of people watch Caitlin than Wemby. If we're saying that, that means the WNBA is missing out on those dollars. That's what that means. WNBA is missing out on the dollars and the NCAA gets all those dollars. They have to change. My second point in this Caitlin Clark convo is they have to change the rule. If the WNBA wants to compete, not so much compete, but raise the bar every single time with these players, their particular product suffers from it, period.
I'm seeing this from last year. To be eligible for the draft, you must be 22 years old.
Caitlin's 22 now.
During the year of the draft, have graduated or will graduate within 3 months of the draft from a four-year university, or have gone to a four-year school where her original class would have graduated or will graduate within 3 months of the draft. But that
Juju can't go into the league until she's 22 or a junior.
Right. So it's really by age.
22. So Juju's 18.
So she got to
wait 3 years. We got because Caitlin started Iowa 2020. Obviously, it's been 4 years.
Yeah.
Right. So We got to sit around and wait for Juju. And then you mentioned,
I think she would have had one more year for the COVID year in case she wanted to come back. But she's like, nah.
And then you, and then here's the thing, the conversation where, shout out to Jason Williams, one of the better guards to come out of Duke, for those that do know. And if anyone could talk college ball, it's him. Mm. And he said, yeah, no, Caitlin's not the best college ball basketball player I've seen. And Jason Williams can't say that now.
No, because tell the full story. He said because she hasn't won a championship.
That, thank you, Randy. That's why we're together.
No, not so everybody has won a championship. Like
no, he says what I'm saying. He's measuring the best with Chips. Him. That's his opinion. There are a lot of people that think like him. There are a lot of people that say, don't worry about it. Ben Simmons is great.
Let me ask you this. If I say Vince Carter, North Carolina, do you think Vince Carter and UNC is one of the best college basketball players ever?
Yes.
But he ain't win a championship?
No.
So what do we, bro? Everybody can't win a championship.
Right, right. So follow me. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, Angel won a championship.
That's what I'm saying. So when Angel Reese says, I'm a better college player than Caitlin because I have a ring, she has a leg to stand on. For me. Mm-hmm. Caitlin don't want a ring. So all that jazz about scoring and all that, take your team to the chip, win a ring, and then stand on that versus your Angel Reese's, your folks from South Carolina that are going undefeated and winning rings. They're looking at her like, we got rings, do you? We're champions, are you?
Okay, so if you're the Indiana Fever, and if Clark and Reese were coming out tomorrow, both eligible, who are you taking first?
Marketing, I'm taking Caitlin.
But you just said Angel's a better player because you got a chip.
I just said marketing.
Uh-huh.
Not best player. Yeah, if I'm Indiana Fever, I'm CEO, I'm owner, I need to get Caitlin because of the marketing. That's it. Mm-hmm. But is she a better player? Not necessarily. Is she the best player? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So again, it's simple for me. Everyone that's won chips as a woman can look at Caitlin and say, well, do you have a ring? So what makes you good? Because you can score? Can you take your team to the chip? Can you win a chip? No. So how are you going to put your name in? We talk about this all the time. How are you going to put your name in the same breath as me, Angel Reese, baby? You can't.
No, I just think the criteria is lopsided. You can't say, oh, he or she ain't the best because there's no ring. But if you look at just on pure talent, like sometimes that can overshadow you winning a ring. So if I say, yo, AI ain't win a ring, man. But if you had that conversation, AI is going to be on everybody's list and top five this and top five that, ring or not, I'm picking AI. And to real quick, Angel Reese, 19-13 this year.
Killer. You bring the glitch AI up. It's a glitch, number one. Number two, AI by himself, as a guard, won MVP, and took his team where, Randy?
To the finals.
Thank you. You can't use a glitch, to compare to someone else. So for me, Dennis, this is Denny talking. Allen Iverson doesn't need a chip because of that single achievement alone. For me. 6 foot guard. Mm-hmm. Takes a team of no offensive players, none, to the finals against a Hall of Fame team with Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and actually wins a game in LA.
The only team to beat them in that playoff run.
That's enough for me to separate him from everybody else, even without a ring. You know what I'm saying? There are caveats to every rule. Him specifically, that's his caveat. So when you want to compare Vince to, Allen Iverson to Vince, and they both didn't win rings, guess what? Allen Iverson was a better player because he took his team by himself to an NBA Finals. Period. That's it.
Be, Before we go, do you remember who was in that starting five with AI in that 2001?
I could take some guesses if you pulled it up already. I could take some guesses. Eric Snow. Snow. George Lynch.
Was it George Lynch?
I said I could take some guesses. Look it up while I guess. That's what I'm saying. So,
you got AI. Yeah, yeah. You got Eric
Snow. I said AI, AI Snow. You said George Lynch. He said starting. Dikembe.
Okay. And one more. Powerful.
What was his name? Hill. Tyrone Hill.
Look at that. Eric Snow, AI, George Lynch, Tyrone Hill, and Mutombo. First seed in the East. They beat Indiana. They beat Toronto in seven.
That might be the year I think Dikembe won Defensive Player of the Year, too, I think.
Yeah, because Larry Brown won Coach of the Year, AI MVP, Dikembe Defensive Player of the Year, and Aaron McKee, Sixth Man of the Year.
Sixth Man of the Year. Yeah.
Oh, that roster.
Yeah. Again, you look at the roster, you're like, how did you even end up in the finals with this roster? You're like, what?
They beat the Bucks. That Bucks.
The Bucks with Cassell. Sam Cassell. Sam I Am. Ray Allen. Big Dog.
And
Glenn Robinson.
Tim Thomas on that roster too.
And Tim Thomas.
No, that was in seven. Crazy.
Yeah. So you know, when you bring up Allen Iverson, he's the glitch. Because number one, he's 6 foot. And number two, he took his team as an MVP to the finals. In the 2000s, where you could hand check, shut up. It's not even a comparison, my guy.
Oh man, I told you Andrew Reese's stats, right?
1913.
Just to have fun, Caitlin Clark 32,
32, 6 and 3, I think.
32, 7 rebounds, 9 assists.
Oh, you doing Luka numbers. You're doing Luka numbers.
Juju, 28, 7, and 3. So, Juju might be the one that could be in that realm of Clark's records when that time comes. She's the truth. She's the next one.
Juju, I just hope Juju doesn't give me Felipe Lopez vibes where he was supposed to come out, or obviously she can't.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to come out and lost draft stock. I don't know if that's going to be the same way with her in the next 2 years that she has to stay at USC. Mm. She's going to get obviously NIL, all that jazz, but
March Madness, baby.
March Madness.
LSU, South Carolina, listen. USC. Let's get it, man. Let's get it.
My money's on South Carolina, or LSU. I've seen them play a couple of times, full games, and I'm just like, they got it. they tough.
Bro, so, I already know when they played the Liberty in their home opener. Massive.
Yeah, them tickets is gonna be good money. I may have to look at that. I may have to take a trip.
That's not gonna be on ESPN. That's gonna be like ABC type. Massive numbers.
Yeah, 100%. Come on. 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, people like seeing winners. People love seeing, you know, Travis Scott out there in Iowa. Probably never been to Iowa in his life.
Yeah.
Probably never. Probably,
the State Farm guy.
Probably State Farm guy's been everywhere. God bless. Travis Scott doesn't even know. If you put a USA map in front of Travis Scott, say, pick Iowa. Is it Florida? Come on, bro. I saw that video. I was like, yo, what is he doing in Iowa? I saw Caitlin Clark. Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so shout out to her. And, you know, it's going to be a good couple of years in the NBA, WNBA for sure.